Okay, the scripture reading for today is Job 31, verses 29 to 40. If I have rejoiced at my enemy's misfortune or gloated over the trouble that came to him, I have not allowed my mouth to sin by invoking a curse against their life. If those of my household have never said, who has not been filled with Job's meat, but no stranger had to spend the night in the street? For my door was always open to the traveler. If I have concealed my sin as people do, by hiding my guilt in my heart, because I so feared in the crowd and so dreaded the contempt of the clans that I kept silent and would not go outside. Oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser put his indictment in writing. Surely I would wear it on my shoulder. I would put it on like a crown. I would give him an account of my every step. I would present it to him as to a ruler. If my land cries out against me and all its furrows are wet with tears, if I have devoured its yield without a payment or broken the spirit of its tenants, then let prayers come up instead of wheat and stinkweed instead of barley.
All right, so those of you who are not aware, last Friday was National Quit Day, because the second Friday in January is usually the time at which most people have given up on their resolutions. If you quit reading your Bible every day, pick it back up. Just start where we are, start with today's reading in Job, and join us again. So here's the thing. We know, first of all, not everybody's going to be able to read this. You can listen to it. Listening to the Bible being read to you is just as good as reading it for yourself, in my opinion. In fact, for most of human history, folks couldn't read. The only way they could do this is to have somebody else read the Bible to them. And I think the Bible is actually designed to be read out loud. So I read it out loud, Tammy and I read it out loud. And we also have somebody else read it to us out loud. So that can help you stay caught up. But also too, sometimes we run into books that are a little strange, like the book of Job, and we've spent all week in the book of Job, and that'll just, you know, it's not as hard as Leviticus, but it'll make some people want to quit. So let me give you the overall story here. Here's Job in a few sentences. God has bragged on what a good guy Job is, and that's kind of ticked Satan off. So Satan has said, well, you let me harm him, and he'll give up this being good charade. He'll curse you right to your face. God says, I'll tell you what, you can't harm him, but you can take anything from him you want. So Satan does. And at the end of that very long, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, Job still glorifies God. So God comes back to Satan and says, see, I won our little bet. Job maintained his integrity. Satan says, that's not fair. You didn't let me hurt him. Okay, fine, you can hurt him now. So Satan does. And now not only has Job lost all of his children, all of his livelihood, all of his businesses, all of his crops, all of his servants, all of his animals, all of everything. He's lost everything except for his wife. She's not his biggest fan, evidently. Now, he's sick. And he's sick to the point that he wants to die. And like most of us, when we're in that situation, he has some friends show up. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And for 7 days, they sit there with him in misery, and they don't say a word. And finally, Job starts this off and says, I can't take this any longer, I just want to die. Well, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they're having none of that. And they basically tell Job something real simple. You wouldn't even be in this bucket if you hadn't done something wrong. You've done something wrong, Job. That's why you're in the bucket you're in. Job says, no, I haven't. Yes, you have. No, I haven't. Yes, you have. That's the whole book of Job until we get to where we are in chapter 31. And by the time Job gets to chapter 31, and there's been several rounds of this arguing back and forth of the no, I haven't, yes, you have stuff, Job's like, this is it. I'm just going to file a lawsuit in court with God. Now, he's considered this all along. But he's refrained from it because he knows God is the judge. I am going to lose this lawsuit. And he also knows that he needs help. I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. Why would Job need a Redeemer? So here's the odd thing. Here's what Job is saying. I might have done something wrong, but nothing that deserves this. Nothing that deserves what I'm getting. And I don't know about you, but I've felt that on a day or two before, or a week or two, or a month or two, and on a few occasions, even a year or two. And so, Job gets to chapter 31 and he takes this oath. And he basically is like, I know God sees everywhere I go. I know he knows. He knows I haven't done anything that deserves this. And so he gives seven oaths here. He actually gives six first. and then files his petition in the court and then comes back and gives a seventh. In case you're not aware, that's a real common Old Testament thing. Six, yes, even seven. So this is a six, yes, even seven kind of thing here, only it's the whole chapter is designed around these six things he's never done. And he's calling God as his witness, and he knows God is also the judge. So God is judge, jury, executioner, and now he's saying, God, I'm going to call you as witness number one. You know I haven't done any of this. I want you to show up and tell my three friends and my wife and anybody else who will listen, I didn't do any of this. Now, spoiler alert before we get too far. You haven't read this part yet, but God does show up. And instead of getting on the witness stand, he puts Job on the witness stand. And after about two rounds of that, Job's like, okay, this was a bad idea. I'm sorry. I'll just shut up now. You can give me whatever you want to give me. You're the boss. So that's where the book is going. And yes, the book is about human suffering, but not really. What the book is telling us is that God is God. And you need to trust him, even when it goes not the way you want it to go. Because it doesn't give you an answering for why humans suffer. It gives you an answer for why God is in control. That's what it's designed to answer. And normally we only care about that when we're really suffering. So that's how the book brings up suffering, is because we could care less until it's us who's under the thumb. And then we want an answer for it. And Job's just like us. So he will get his answer, sort of. But that answer makes him withdraw his case. But for right now, we're just in court. That's where we are in chapter 31. We're just here answering. And all of these oaths take, if I did this, then let me suffer that. You can look at what I'm suffering. It does not match up with my sin at all. I didn't do this. Why am I suffering that? Why is somebody else eating my crops? Why is somebody else taking over my businesses? Why is somebody made off with my livestock? Why are my children missing? I haven't done any of these things that would make that make sense to me. Job starts off just challenging God about his plight. Let's be honest here, Lord. I didn't have any sexual impurity. I didn't even look at a woman. Now, a whole lot of us would be in trouble just on that first plea. So I remember back being a teenager, I can't make that plea as sternly as Job does anyway. I didn't treat my staff unfairly. I didn't take advantage of the poor. I didn't. In fact, I went out of my way to help those people. They could eat at my table. They could stay in my house. Later on, in Scripture, they could sleep in my bed. I gave them a spot, even my own spot, to sleep. I didn't commit idolatry. I didn't take vengeance on anybody. I'm not hiding any sin. You know, studies have come out, the average person has 13 secrets. 13 big, I mean, like big secrets, like I'd be mortified if you knew them secrets. I don't know if that's true or not. Five of those 13, they've never told another living soul. Job's saying, I'm better than average. Lord, I know you know. You know I didn't hide my sin. I haven't stuffed it under a blanket somewhere. I haven't pushed it under the carpet. I haven't put it in a closet. Lord, you know I didn't do any of this. And I'm not hiding about it, and I'm not lying about it. Some of us have to worry about God knowing every single thing we've done. Job's got the opposite problem. He's wondering if God knows what he hasn't done. And I haven't done anything to deserve this. And we can think forward to another story. My God, why have you forsaken me? I haven't done anything to deserve this. So Job takes his oath. He testifies. He gets up and signs his affidavit. Here it is. I've signed it, Lord. Now the implication of that is you better show up and answer. That's a dicey proposition, right? You're giving God orders. I know it sounds impious to us. Don't get shook up. God does show up and he does answer, and he says Job didn't do anything wrong. So next time your piety causes you to want to point fingers at somebody else, relax a little bit. They'll get it worked out with God. I want to notice two things here, especially this morning. As I've already said, Job's not claiming to be innocent. He knows he needs a redeemer. He knows he needs that redeemer to intercede for him. He's just saying, I haven't done anything that deserves this. And he's right. Because what Job doesn't know is what you and I saw up front. This isn't because Job is guilty of something. This is because God says he's not guilty of that. God has already shown up in court and he has testified to Satan that Job is innocent, and that made Satan angry. And so Satan came after the boy. We know that. God knows that. Job and his friends don't know that. So before you get mad at the idea of Job taking God to court, he didn't start it. He just wants an answer. He's not a monk. That's the second thing I want to notice. Look at these things. I've been active in the world. I didn't run off to a cave and hide and read my Bible every day and pretend like I didn't sin. I was out there in the everyday world, working my 9-to-5 job. I was busy. I took a stand. I defended the fatherless, and the widow. I heard the argument at the city gate. I participated in my society. I didn't bunker up. I got out there and represented your cause, God. I did your will. And so, clearly we can feel his frustration when in verse 35 he says, I wish someone would hear me. His friends aren't, his wife's not, the townspeople aren't. Anyone else that might have listened to him is dead. So here it is, I've signed my plea. I want the Almighty to come and answer me. At least let him put the charges in writing. I don't even know if I've pled innocent to the right things. I don't even know what the charge is. At least if God is going to come after me like this, shouldn't I know what the charge is? You know all those dumb criminal things that come up in the news all the time? They crack me up a little bit. Job's not one of the dumb criminals. He's legitimately innocent. Let's keep that in mind. I think this was when Doug and I were on our boar hunting, our hog hunting trip. I heard about a guy who called the state police in Kansas, talking about a drunk driver driving down the highway in the wrong direction on a four lane. It wasn't an interstate. It was like our 41. It was four lane. I think it's Highway 77. There's a drunk driver out here driving the wrong way. Cops go out there. Sure enough, there is a drunk driver out there driving the wrong way. It's the guy who made the call. Right? All right. So sometimes you're like, I'm going to tell you you're in the wrong, only to find out you're actually the guilty party. I mean, we've all done that, right? That's not the case here. Job's not mistaken. He's not fooling. He's not lying, and he's not being deceptive. God's already testified to that. We just know it, and Job doesn't. Job wants to know it. At least come and tell me what I've done. Now, I'm not advocating that we behave this way. I'm saying that's what the book is saying Job did. You want my honest opinion? You and me and Job and everyone else deserves whatever we do get, and it's only by God's mercy we don't get worse than what we do have. That's my honest opinion. I try to refrain from giving that because it hurts some people's feelings every once in a while. Truth is, we get way worse than whatever we've wound up with. But Job knows something that you and I need to know. You can't gaslight God. And Job is saying, I'm being honest from the depth of my heart and my soul. I just want to know what's going on here. And keep in mind, God does show up. He doesn't give him an explanation for his suffering. He just says, I'm the boss. And Job says, yes, sir, you are, and I withdraw my plea. Let me pull my case back off the docket. I'm sorry. God wants us to live the best life we can. He wants us to be able to take the pledge in court that we haven't been sexually promiscuous, that we haven't failed to care for people who work with us or for us, that we haven't failed to care for the needy, the homeless, the widow, God wants us to be able to stand up and take this same oath. Look, we're doing the best we can. But at the end of the day, the truth is, just like Job, we're going to have to rely on a Redeemer. God wants us to build the best life we can. He wants us to treat other people well. And so many of these oaths, we should be able to take it and mean it. In fact, all of them we should be able to take and mean. That we haven't done this or we have done that. But at the end of the day, we're still going to have to rely on the mercy and the grace and the love of our Creator God. And not our own personal righteousness. But at any rate, Job drops the mic. Takes his plea of innocence, files one more thing he didn't do. The seventh one, by the way, always kind of, I mean, the seventh one is, I didn't even abuse my farmland. It's not that I just treated people well. I didn't even abuse my cropland. That's the equivalent of, I didn't even steal a pencil from the office. That's our equivalent. That's what that is. And then he drops the mic. With that, verse 40 says, the words of Job are ended. Here's what we saw in our first week's reading. In Genesis 1 through 11, people are busy running away from God. And it always makes it worse. But in Job, if you paid attention this week, what Job is doing is running towards God. Now, he's angry, but he's not running away. My granddaughters don't live under the same truth, but because they're girls, I don't treat them as harshly. But my grandsons know, you better not let Papa Bear catch you doing the wrong thing, and if you do, you sure better own up to it before he catches you. Because if you run and hide, ooh, buddy, that's going to be a long, hard day for you. And Job didn't run and hide. He doesn't blame his three friends. He doesn't blame his wife. He doesn't blame his kids. He just wants to know what's going on. And the way he handles it is way different than Adam and Eve handled it. Way different than Cain handled it. Way different than the Nephilim handled it. Way different than Noah's generation handled it. So despite the fact that I'll admit he's angry at God, he at least brings his problem to God and not away from him, which is what righteous people do. When they're unhappy with God, they run to him, not away from him. And so what I want you to see in the book of Job is that a man who is falsely attacked turns towards God for solace. He is frustrated, but he takes that frustration to God. Now again, spoiler alert, it's going to work out fine. Job's going to get exonerated. So is God. And that's the only thing Job has to admit in the whole book. The only thing he has to admit in the whole book is God's exonerated. he's not as bad off as I thought he was. I withdraw that thought. So Job will recant, he will withdraw his court case, but for right now, where we are, he's filed it, and he's dropped the mic. Let me be so bold as to leave you with this last thought. The reason we struggle with the book of Job is we think that Job is questioning God. He might be questioning God, but he's not judging God. There's a difference. And all throughout the Old Testament, you have lots of people take their questions to God, even questions about God, but they're taking them to God, and that's always seen as a good thing. You'll see it again in the book of Psalms. So this isn't a one-off. This is what God wants us to do when we're upset about something, is to run towards Him. But what Job never does do is judge God. And sadly, that's what our culture loves to do. If we were in Job's shoes, we would curse God and die just like his wife tells him to. Job says, that's foolish talk. I'm not doing that. So we tend to think that we can judge God if he does something we don't like. Job doesn't do that. He has unwavering faith in God, even amidst his extreme hardship. And so ultimately, Job stood with God. And you will find out at the end of the book that God always stood with Job. And that's what made the difference. So in the final estimation of things, you and I could not take Job's plea of innocence. But we could turn to the same God. And we could have the same outcome, where he stands by us, even though we will deserve it less than Job did. And so the next time you feel upset about your lot in life, tell it to Jesus. And keep your feet next to God's feet. And he will never leave you or forsake you. And in the end, your living Redeemer will plead your case, and you will be found innocent, and you will be glad that you stayed with God, just like Job was glad that he stayed with God. If you have a need, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.